Show Recaps Theater presents Movies. So many movies as reviewed for you by your friends at Post Show Recaps. Featuring Grace and Ariel and their incredible movie takes, we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Grace, and my co-host got eaten by a dinosaur, so he is not here this week. But I have a new co-host filling in his place. Jess Sterling, how are you doing?
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's like the most iconic soundtrack of all time. Hi, yep. I'm here. I'm talking dinosaurs, and I'm very excited about
it. It's pretty good. There was nobody else we were going to have on for Jurassic World Dominion, just then you, who actually rewatched all the Jurassic Parks before you went and came watch this movie. Is that correct?
I did. We've been watching. We started off the original OG best movie, mm-hmm. Jurassic mm-hmm. Park. Mm-hmm. Worked our way through all of the Jurassic Worlds to get to Jurassic World Dominion because we knew it was coming out in June. So yeah. Did rewatch them recently.
It's so hard to understate how big Jurassic Park was at the time. The Toronto Raptors are named the Toronto Raptors because Jurassic Park was really popular. To the point now, Jess, I don't know if you know this, but at Toronto Raptors games, if you do not get a ticket to go inside, you can hang out outside the stadium and the arena, I guess, and watch it on a big screen at Jurassic Park.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that's a little area that all the fans get together to watch the game on a big screen outside of the arena. Yeah, Jurassic Park. Enough about basketball. We're not here to talk about basketball.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be the guest if that was the case.
That's the extent of our basketball coverage today. Yeah. Ariel, not with us today. As I said, eaten by a dinosaur. We miss you, Ariel. I'm sure you're listening. But Jess is here instead, which this is perfect. This is so fun. You watched all the movies. I went to the theater. This was the longest. So I was not in Toronto. I was up at my parents' place up north of Toronto. And this is the longest line I've seen for a movie. I believe this is the combo of like Top Gun Maverick. People heard it's very good. And so it was like the delay, like, oh, I'll go watch Top Gun Maverick. And then also a ginormous Jurassic World Dominion a fandom in line. So the movie theaters are back. They're saved, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw this at the drive-in, and it was a packed place. We went opening weekend as well, so obviously expect more people there. But we're like the old people who like to go early and like get in line so that we could get a good spot ahead of time, you know? I know you're the same way. So I'm good to company. Yeah. So we always go early, and we got there like 20 minutes before they opened, and there were still like three cars in front of us. And by the time the gates opened, there were like five or more cars behind us. Like, it was a packed house. People were excited. We had people behind us that were like very much rooting for certain things to happen. No spoilers yet, but like shouting like woohoo, like clapping their hands at certain parts of the movie.
Yeah. My movie theater was a little bit more tame, I think, in terms of like direction of movie, except there was one guy who found not every joke funny, but a lot of jokes funny and would audibly laugh, which I think actually made some other people more comfortable to laugh as well. So as he would laugh, he'd give this very like hearty chuckle. More people would start to join in. There was also a child in line, who instantly, I would say, was a hilarious child, because every time, so a very small town, it was a very small town. And so people recognize each other in line, and they'd be like, "Hey, Steve, hey, Mark, hey, Linda, like, how's it going? Like, what are you going to like from down the line? Like, what are you going to see?"
This is honestly my nightmare.
Yeah. No, not me involved in this. Right. Nobody recognized me. And so they'd be like, "What are you going to see?" And so we'd be like, "Yeah, we're going to check out Top Gun Maverick. We haven't checked it out yet." And then, "What about you?" And he'd be like, "Oh, we're going to see Jurassic Park." And this happened, I swear, six times while I was in line. And this little child would go, "Actually, it's Jurassic World Dominion." And
he would say it like that
every single time. That kid is my absolute favorite. Yeah. Because he was not involved in it. It wasn't like people were saying like, "Hey, well, are you going to go see Jurassic Park?" He's like, "Actually, it's Jurassic Park World Dominion." He was telling other people who were having conversations around him.
They should know. This is not Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So presumably the end of a three a three-part saga. Yep. The previous trilogy, presumably, perhaps, and very likely, the end of a six-part saga. The first Jurassic Park films have three, and then the Jurassic World movie. This is the third one. What was your like excitement level about Jurassic World Dominion, Jess?
Oh, I was hype. Like, I think the thing is I understand. Don't get me wrong. I am a Jurassic Park purist in that it is my favorite. It will always be my favorite. You cannot beat the original. But if there's a movie with dinosaurs, and not to mention the fact that this had the three like OG, you got your Laura Dern, you got your Sam Neill, you got your Jeff Goldblum, like, and not to mention B.D. Wong, because we love B.D. Wong.
We do.
It had the OG people, right? So like that hyped me up even more for it. I would have been hyped regardless. It's like a fun dinosaur film. I feel like it makes perfect sense to have it in the summer. It just feels like, to me, the ultimate drive-in experience. Like, this is the type of movie I always want to see at a drive-in. It's like action-packed. It's fun. I'm not like taking it overly seriously. So I was very excited for it, even though I know that like the Jurassic World as a trilogy hasn't necessarily been the best. The original is probably the best of the three, but it's still a fun movie to go see at the drive-in.
You know what? Whatever. If people are like, yeah, this movie, like whatever, this is Jurassic Park. It's so like the first one is so good. I feel like they've never really figured out how to recreate that magic of the first one, but like, I also don't think you necessarily need to. I feel like this is a movie that I think a lot of the people who I was in the movie with, they're just looking for something to like turn their brains off for, you know, two and a half hours on a Friday night. And I think they got exactly that. Like, are there things we can nitpick in the like plot? Yeah, I will. I think that the like character, I think that you know, it's surprising to me that like, yeah, the Chris Prattification of the Jurassic Park, I think, has not really worked. But I think it's fun. Can you tell me, though? I feel like there's this thing where, like, they're all coming back. The OG three. This is the first movie that they're all in together since the first one. But they sort of went back and forth, right? Goldblum's in the second one. Sam Neill, Laura Dern in the third one.
That's correct.
And then Goldblum has been in some of, even the new, he's in the last one.
Parts. Yeah, he had a small part in the last one as well.
And BD Wong's been in all of the new sequels, right?
And I will say, one of my nits to pick is that, like, listen, you got BD Wong. You need to do more with BD Wong. Yeah. That's my biggest criticism, I think, overall across probably all of the sequels to the original, is that BD Wong, in my opinion, should be the big bad. Give him the big bad role. Like, I feel like he's earned it. He would do well with it. I'm sad that they don't utilize him in a way that I feel like he should be utilized when he was in the original Jurassic Park. What kind of cool story is that to have him come in like big bad energy in the final one? I don't know.
I would agree with that. I think that like, I think one of my critiques of this movie is the villain of the movie is leaves a little bit to be desired. So my spoiler-free thing in this movie, we typically do like see it, skip it, stream it. Should you wait? I think that like you'll have fun, I think, with this movie. It has enough like in there. It's not like substance filled. I mean, the dinosaurs are big, so there's a lot of substance in that sense. And it's pretty fun, I think, in terms of like some of the things that they end up doing. There's like, for me, I'm not like, you know, dinosaur gripping my, you know, teeth and claws into like any character per se. Nobody is like, I'm not walking away from this movie like, God, I just want to be, you know, this person like you get from the original one, I think. And even though you have the OG three come back, I feel like, you know, but overall, I think like, yeah, it's a Jurassic Park. It's a Jurassic Park sequel. And I think that, like, honestly, I think it's better than some of the other ones I've seen. So,
So I can give you my
give me the rankings. Yeah, give me the rankings.
Obviously, number one is Jurassic Park because, obviously.
Yes.
I have number two being Jurassic World, the original Jurassic World. I love Blue. I love that whole storyline with the raptors. I thought that was very intriguing. Obviously, gets negative points for the running in high heels, which is completely unrealistic and probably would break your ankles.
Yes.
And then I think I have Jurassic World 3, so this one, Jurassic World Dominion, very closely tied with Jurassic Park 3. I feel like those two are very close.
Wow, this is funny that they each time they're like, we'll have a good, we'll open strong. We'll follow it up with something not very good. The third one, though, we'll get them back a little bit.
Yeah, and then again, very at the end, we have Jurassic Park 2 and Jurassic World 2 are kind of waffling for last place. Jurassic Park 2 sucks. It really sucks. It's not a good film. It's hardly watchable, in my opinion. It's just
Jurassic Park 2, they try to like, they're like, Jeff Goldblum's the lead of this movie, right? And Julianne Moore is in it, and Vince Vaughn. I feel like my takeaway, you know what? I'll just say it. My favorite part of the third movie is Jeff Goldblum. He's the best part of this.
Because
he's wonderful. I don't think he's like, he not that he can't be a leading man. This is not his leading
man. You don't
want
him as your straight man. You want him as the fun sidekick. Like, I don't think that's not the role Jeff Goldblum is going to play.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. So, very interesting. Because, in two, there's no Sam Neill. There's no Laura Dern. It's all Goldblum all the time. You know?
Yeah, the storyline is not great. There's like a whole RV situation, which that has some fun moments. But you even have a what's his face? The tall guy. I'm so bad with names. The tall comedian actor. He was with Reese Witherspoon in that Christmas movie, Vaughn. You know who I'm talking about.
Vince Vaughn. I said
Vince Vaughn. That's it. Yeah. He's in that. And the second one, it's just like, it's fine. Like I said, like in my opinion, my completionist brain was like, we're watching the first three, we're watching the second set, and then we're going to go see Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah. So well worth your time, I think, to go watch it. And you know what? I think it has movie theater quality, like some of the stuff they're doing. I think will work on the silver screen, the big screen, as they will. And but if you're like, if you watch the trailer and like, just wait for it to come on streaming. Watch it one night when you don't want to watch anything else. You don't want to think too much. Just watch that, and you'll enjoy it. It was fun. It was good. It was okay. A lot of adjectives there.
Yeah. I would agree. I think like, I totally agree with that, right? Like, if you're looking for something to just go, like, for a night out to have fun, totally recommend this movie. I think it's a really fun movie to watch. Like, not all of the plot points are going to hit home. And you're certainly, this is not an Everything Everywhere All at Once where you leave the theater and you think about it for, like, 3 weeks. Like, that is not this type of movie.
Yeah, I pretty much did not think about this movie one time since. Other than that, I won a raffle, which I had never seen before.
I'm so jealous that you won this.
Yeah, little raffle tickets. You take one, they put one in the thing at the end, and my name was right up there. I went a little gift bag, and it had magnets and sticky notes and a little, it was so called a Dino Cling, which I wasn't sure what that was, but you attach it to your pen or pencil, and then you like, when you're writing, you have a little dino on your pen.
It's adorable.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it's great. I gave them all to my nieces.
So generous.
I know. I should have given it to that kid who was like, actually, it's Jurassic World Dominion. But I didn't.
She said, want some Jurassic Park trinkets?
And he'd be like, actually, I'm just talking like that kid from that one meme who's like, actually, I've never been on TV before. Have you seen this meme?
No.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after. Don't worry about that. I will have you covered on that. So let's spoiler it up. Let's talk about Jurassic World Dominion. We open on like a news thing, I believe, where like this movie, I don't really remember if the last, I didn't, so he also, I've put this in the sports section, I didn't watch the previous Lost World one. I've only seen the original three and the first one, so I'm jumping back into it, and they're like, yep, the dinosaurs like roam the world. And I actually thought there's like some definitely some fun stuff in here in like, imagine that our world, we just had dinosaurs because like stupid people brought them back from the dead and now they just like live with us. This is fun. This is fine. It's fun.
Yeah, basically what had happened at like the end of the second Jurassic World is that there was like a black market for dinosaurs. Right. And so they had like rescued a bunch of dinosaurs from Isla Nublar, Island Nublar.
Yeah.
And they had rescued them. And so the rest of them died. And it was so tragic. And the long neck was like, dying in the smoke. And it was, oh my God, I wanted to cry. But anyway, they rescued a bunch of them. There's this black market. And so they're being kept at this massive mansion. And there's the girl that's in this movie, Macy, that's like a clone. The whole secret is she's a clone. And she releases the dinos, like a monster that she is. And so then all of them escape this massive mansion and start roaming around, right? And now we're 4 years later and they've kind of Some of them are adapting, and some of them not so much, just like killing people, no big deal. And yeah, we get, I kind of liked the beginning of the film as like a, hey, in case you forgot and you didn't rewatch all of the movies recently, this is where we left off.
It definitely helped. And also, I thought there was enough cute stuff in here of like, and I, some of the stuff was in the trailer, but like the big like sea monsters, like dinosaurs, like biting you know, and then like, but all the little ways too, that like people's lives are like slightly inconvenienced by having dinosaurs is hilarious. But I felt huge, like big time. We are making we're proving a point in this movie. Capitalism is bad.
We're political. Like,
it's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That
makes sense. And this is not new. Like this is the theme of like Jurassic World is how they've, because like Jurassic Park OG wasn't about that. Like Jurassic World is much more about the morality of dinosaurs and all of that.
I mean, there's so many shows that I think have done where like the first season is like, we have this idea, this is the concept. And then in season two, they're like, and here's how it affects the whole world. And you're like, no, pack it up. You know, and I feel like there's a little bit of that where like Jurassic Park is so fun because like, wow, yeah, cool. Jurassic Park is like, oh no, it went wrong. You know, this is bad. Yeah. Like, you know, action. And then they're like, and now the world, we're going to talk about the world. And you're like, no, but I don't know.
It's much better in Jurassic Park because it's so localized. It's so small. And Jurassic Park, you don't see the first dinosaur until like really far into the film, which I know some people had critiqued to Steven Spielberg. And that's why in the second film, you get dinosaurs immediately, because people had complained. And I was like, this is why we can't have good things. This is why we can't have nice things, because I didn't mind having to wait.
That Ellie Statler scene where she pulls off the glasses and you see the dino, that's the best.
It's the best.
It's like, the best. Did you love the homage this time?
Yes.
Did you like the,
I was here. We should have said that in the spoiler free version of like, if you loved the original Jurassic Park, and you will pick up some of the amazing like dinosaur Easter eggs in this film of like, there are such cute moments that reference the first film that my little heart was soaring, because I was like, yes, fan service me.
Yeah, we'll get to Ellie. She's investigating these locusts. I thought, I promise, I did enjoy the movie, but I feel like as we like dig down and go into details, I feel like some people might hate that I am going to be critiquey.
You should be critical.
That's kind of what we do here, is we critique movies.
Of course.
A lot of focus in this movie about locusts, you know? A lot.
Okay, so the locusts, thing for me is I know locusts aren't like normally dinosaurs, I guess, but
they date back to the crustacean period, so like there is a whole thing that's happening here, and then it's the whole like for me, what's so fun in the first Jurassic Park is that it's like, yeah, obviously people made these things, but then they're like, we're terrorized with that. Where so much of the locust stuff is like, the locusts don't like seem to like eat humans, you know? They're just like, they're eating everybody's seed. It's going to cause like mass
world famine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, does suck. That would suck. That would be the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is like, for me, I got to say, I was very impressed with the locusts being as terrifying as they were. Like, to me, the locusts were probably the thing that would give me the most nightmares out of this entire film.
Oh, really?
Because there's swarms of them, right? And you just, like, I picture like bees, like swarms of bees coming at me, and how, like in cartoons, you know, where you hear like, you get that like Flight of the Bumblebee music and you're like running away from the bees.
Yeah.
The locusts, especially later in the movie, when they're freaking fire locusts, no, miss me with those. Never. Yeah, thank you.
This scene is pretty terrifying.
Anybody who's not a fan of bugs, I feel like, would be like terrified of the locusts.
That's true. I don't have a big, bug aversion, so maybe that's why it didn't work as well for me. I did skip forward a little bit. We do see Maisie is like heading into town. They're gonna be a little bit like, Claire's a little bit like, yeah, you can't do that. Her and Owen, Owen's like wrangling Dennis. Is this also where, does Claire let the things go? They break into a plant.
The little triceratops.
It's very cute. It was
so cute. Like, okay, anytime you're gonna put baby dinosaurs on my screen, I'm gonna be immensely happy.
Yeah. So she's rescuing, she's like there, she works for the Dinosaur Protection Group. Owen is like basically dinosaur, like cowboy dinosaur, which on paper sounds super fun. I'm down for that. I think the thing, and I was saying this to you before, that the thing I think that falls so flat in these movies is I think so much could be, so Owen Grady as a character, I think you take Chris Pratt, who comes out of Parks and Rec, and he's like the funniest person on the planet for a while, right? And, you know, we can put aside, we'll put aside all of like this personal life for a moment. Yeah, just talk about like his film career. He goes on to Guardians of the Galaxy. He's tremendous in that movie. He's so funny, and he's a leading man, and he's like jacked. And he's also like, you know, he's being sad in that movie. He's so good. And I just feel like in these movies, he's, why don't they let him be funny? Why is his character not funnier?
He's very serious. And I think it's because like he takes, I think the problem is, right, OG Jurassic World, the first one, he is the funny guy because Claire is the serious one.
That's
and so
true.
He is allowed to be the funny guy. Right. But then as time goes on, he's like, we got to save these dinosaurs. And he gets like his serious face on. And then what are you going to do? He's no longer funny guy. He's now serious guy. And on top of that, we've talked about the cast being loaded. Like there are so many people in this cast. And one of my negatives about the film is like, we're spreading ourselves too thin across so many characters and so many locations that like, it almost feels like you're not getting enough substance from each individual group because there's too many.
I feel like the first like six scenes in the movie all need like a title card that are like Morocco, like Nevada.
I think they did,
like,
didn't know, they?
No, they do.
Okay.
It's because they have to keep doing it because they're like in such everywhere. Different parts of the world. Everybody's somewhere different.
And
then they have Maisie, they're caring for Maisie, they don't want her to leave. And also Blue is hanging out in the woods, and Blue has a little baby named Beta who she produced asexually. What do you think of Beta?
Adorable. Beta. Obviously adorable. Baby Beta, so cute. I think they were really pushing the like, or they, again, I think this was kind of unsuccessful just because there wasn't enough substance to it, because again, you were spread so thin, but they really wanted us to feel the parallels between Macy and Beta. Like they really wanted us to feel that, but I feel like we just didn't have enough time with them to get there quite as much. So
I would agree with you that I think if you put BD Wong in like the role of like gaslighting Maisie to be hey, you know, we gotta do, you know, and then it turns out at the end that he's the bad guy, that would have worked really well.
That's
because he's
I'm
the
saying.
One he's the one who's like delivering, like, you know, this is here's the videos of your mother here, like he's the one like moving the Maisie plot forward a little bit, and I feel like that would work really well. It's like have him deliver the plot and then pull the rug out from under it and be like, actually he's doing it because he's like, he's pretty messed up. And
instead he looks like he's like been traumatized by a few years of COVID, like we all have. Like he has like the long hair and he just looks like really tired and sad. And I'm like, bro, I've been there, like don't get me wrong, but like I wanted him to have like this like evil villainous spirit, you know, like
we've seen him in Mr. Robot. Fans will know that BD Wong can play a villain, so
that's what I'm saying. Give him the part, man. Give him the part.
So Ellie is doing her work with the locust and the biosyn seed. There's only one person she could reach, of course, in the whole world. There's only one person who could possibly help her out with this, which would be Dr. Alan Grant. And this scene worked really well for me. The I think these two just have like chemistry together. There's a really interesting read of the original movie. Are they together in two and three?
This is what's so amazing about Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They never really landed on like, you think they're partners, but like they never really act romantic towards one another. And no, they're not like together. He calls her. That's a whole plot point in Jurassic Park 3 where he visits her. She is married with a child. And he is going back to Jurassic Park. And he eventually calls her and she helps him later on in the film. So she's that's why they have her as like a divorcee here with kids and stuff, because that had happened in Jurassic Park 3. So now they're leaving, of course, the romance of the ages, right? And this is what I'm saying about like to me, it's so obvious that Jurassic World Dominion is made in a modern age versus Jurassic Park. The original was made in the 90s, which some of the best films of all time made in the 90s. Sure. Just like, you can't make a modern day film where it's ambiguous whether or not these people are together.
You know,
like,
it's so weird that point about the 90s having the best. I just was chatting with Sarah Ferguson for Movie Club. She's saying the exact same thing. What a coincidence. The two of you would say that there's so many great 90s.
I know. Movies. Can you believe we'd have that take?
That's wild. What a coinciding.
But I do think, like, and I don't get me wrong, I loved it. I want to see a romance between Dr. Alan Grant and Ellie Sattler. But they couldn't not have that happen in this movie. It was kind of like, if you're going to bring them both back, they're going to be together romantically, right? Like, it's going to happen. But it was great to see them on screen again. And it was great. I mean, I'm a massive Laura Dern fan. I was happy to see her back. I just think she's brilliant. And I think she was one of the high points for me of this film is her, just Ellie Sattler in general. And just like the way that she acts as Ellie Sattler was wonderful.
Yes, I agree. She is a treasure, and it's sad that she was sort of like pushed out of Hollywood for a bit. I'm glad she is back. I saw a really fun, I think it's a TikTok thing where it was like, here's why, like, in the first movie they're not actually really together, because everything is basically like, so like the first time Dr. Grant says like, yeah, we're together, it's when like Ian Malcolm is like, are you like, yes, you two a thing? And you could read that as like they're co-workers and he's like protecting her in a way of like, yeah, I don't want this sleazeball hitting on her, right? And so you can read a lot of their interactions as like they're actually coworkers who are like fairly friendly with each other, right? Like they know, like the jokes about like, you don't want kids is not like partners. That's like two coworkers making a joke. And so I love that read of everything and sort of this like full on, like, will they, won't they, to the point where in this movie, I think it's very satisfying. Their story arc, even if I don't, most of the stuff between the two of them on the way in this movie, I could take it or leave it, but I do love where we end up with the two of them.
Yeah, I think that their best moments together are like in With the Locusts, right? In that whole situation, very cute. And then at the very end when they end up together. I just think like that they're going to put them together because they're in the movie together and they're going to, this is what the fans want, right? The fans want to see Ellie and Alan get together in the end. I think
there's a thing too where like I feel better about it. And I know Laura Dern has done an interview being like, yeah, I'm not sure how to read like their age difference. And so like, you know, and then that's where I think some of this, like, well, were they in a, like, that's so like, will they, won't they? And we're like, now where they're both at an age, we're like, yeah, they're still a 20 year age gap, but like, they're both adults, you know, they're both like full adults. So
yeah, I would say like what, Ellie Sattler's probably in her like 40s or 50s by now. So they're certainly adult enough to be able to make those decisions.
I think
themselves.
54 and 72, I think something like that.
Oh my gosh, ages. Alan Grant looks so good for 72.
He does look good. Yeah, he looks
he's great. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but like the silver hair is working for him in ways that like prior to this, like Alan Grant in Jurassic Park 1 was like, yeah, great, he's good looking, right? But something about the silver fox and the beard, man, I cannot.
Yeah, he's really good. If you're looking for like more Sam Neill kind of like being a little bit grumpy and having to deal with actually kids as well, he's in it's a Taika Waititi movie that he's in that I cannot remember the name of, but it's very good. The Hunt for the Wilder People, it's very good. I think you check it on Netflix. He's very fun in that as well. He knows what he's playing. He knows. I think he's also going to be in Thor: Love and Thunder. So big year.
That's going to be another great summer movie.
He is in Thor: Ragnarok. He plays Odin. He's Odin, so he's going to be in.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, I could totally see him as Odin. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yep.
Yeah. So Maisie and Beta also get attacked. This is a little for me. They're like, he gets followed home and then they end up like, you know, in the hunt, they chase down Maisie and Beta and kidnap both of them. And they're transferred off to do some Biosyn.
So Biosyn has like contacts to basically kidnap them in order to, and they want both Beta and Maisie for obvious reasons of like the whole cloning situation. And they followed Owen basically back to their like remote cabin in the middle of nowhere.
So here's the thing, I could not remember, so it's been I have not watched Jurassic world since it came out, and I have not watched. We've watched one in the Discord, the first Jurassic Park.
Yep.
I haven't watched the other ones in a very long time. So again, my memory on these movies is like is so bleak. But then I was like, oh, like I guess David Attenborough guys. I guess that must be. You know, Lockwood, that must be no, turns out Lockwood is a new character from the first one, who's played by an individual that you and I have podcasted about in Succession. He plays Ewan Roy.
Yes
It's played by James Cromwell. So it's she's his granddaughter and also daughter, I guess.
Right,
in a weird way. Yes,
right. So in the second movie, the other kind of little piece of missing information that you don't have is that in the second movie we were led to believe that Lockwood lost his daughter like tragically, and he was the one pushing. He was partners with John Hammond, and he was pushing to get the technology to clone his daughter, who was deceased, to basically have her again, right?
Got it.
He dies at the end of the second film, and Macy escapes with Claire and Owen. So we were obviously, things change in this movie where we're then like, oh no, it wasn't the grandfather. It was her mom the whole time, right, who like was doing. So I don't know if they had that plan from the beginning, given that this is a trilogy, or what, because I was taken aback too. I'm like, oh, we never really were told a timeline. I had just always assumed that she was cloned after her mom had died, but that was not the case. She was like pregnant with her, like a normal fetus type of situation.
Right. I don't know. I feel like it was a little lost on me, but I also don't think that's the movie's fault for me not watching the previous movie.
No, so, but to be fair to you, casuals, not everybody would have watched this, rewatched the second film, right?
So yeah, but I've never seen it. So like, you know,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I'm just saying people probably would have forgotten as well, even if they had seen it. A lot of these people that are going to the movies to watch this movie are not rewatching everything before.
It's so funny because I feel like I've become such a person who's like, you need to make your movie dumber for me, please. You know, whereas I feel like probably 10 years ago, I was like,
why did not everybody know this?
How they didn't tell us where in the world they were. That's so, you know, and I'm like, title card, please. Top, top. You know?
Well, you watch a lot of movies, Grace. Like, I think that's fair. Yeah,
and I do think there's like, I'm not like asking for the like, yes, come on, you got to spell it out. And like when I'm watching like some indie movie, but like in the big blockbuster, I'm like, we're all casuals and dumb, please. Like me pointing to the guy next to me. Like, actually, it's Jurassic World Dominion. Somehow they just figure out that they're in Malta. I think CIA contacts Claire and Owen, they've tracked them down. Dinosaur black market. This is a big theme of the last one. So I guess I thought this was like, again, this like of like, yeah, what are all the ways in which like dinosaurs being around would like Emma? And this makes total sense, be a black market. But it gets raided, and they're all the dinosaurs are released, which causes a little bike chase scene thing in Malta, which like, all right, sure. I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. It was cool, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know that it like necessarily worked for me. Again, the Jurassic World movies in general are a huge fan of like, forget about the OG dinosaurs. Like, we're always going to show you the T-Rex and the Raptor. Like, literally always going to show you those two, especially the, I never remember the one of the name that spits the acid in your face. But like, we're going to show you those three. You're always going to get those three, but we're going to always include new ones that are like fancier. They're cooler. They're edgier. And so in this scene, we have the ones where like, all you got to do is like a cat, you do a laser pointer at somebody and it's like,
oh my god, I forgot about the laser pointer. And it has to be the biggest complaints I have about the movie.
It's dumb, right?
The laser pointer is so, because it's not chase the laser pointer.
The human I point at.
Yes. Yeah, no, yeah, like I laser point you just so, you know, dinosaurs will chase after you, even if I forever point the laser pointer somewhere else. Yeah, they're just like permanently gonna chase you.
Yeah.
That is so, that was the most ridiculous thing in the whole movie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. And it felt like, it very much felt like they were like, we want a chase scene. Okay. Yes. Now let's backtrack. Yes. How do we get this chase scene?
Yes.
Right. And you could feel that in the film. And again, like,
I've run Dungeons and Dragons sessions. I've been there where you're like, I really want to do this thing. So how am I going to do this thing? You know?
Yeah. And how do we get from A to B? Where's the A, right? Yeah. And you could feel that. And again, some people love a chase scene. This is a common thing I have said. I am not a car movie person. I don't care about chase scenes. It's not my vibe. I'm not an action movie person. So whatever. Yeah, I could take
a car movie now.
No, but there's cars in it. So, you know, maybe qualifies. But then, and I also think like this was kind of like one of my other small critiques is we're adding to this cast, right? So we have our main normal cast of characters, which is already pretty massive. And then we're adding in characters like Kayla Watts, played by DeWanda Wise, and Ramsey. Specifically Kayla is in this scene and she is helping Claire escape. She's like driving Claire to escape.
Well, she also sees... She also sees the transfer of Maisie.
Yes.
And doesn't do anything about it, which is a pretty like central. That's like her whole character. It's like,
I saw a kid get transferred.
So I probably should like do something about it now.
I kind of felt like, and they didn't have the time. Is it right? Like it was so packed. They didn't have the time to develop Kayla more, but it felt very one dimensional that Kayla was like, okay, I saw this kid get taken and I didn't do anything. And now I'm to the point where I'm going to try so hard. I'm willing to risk my entire life on my rinky dink plane to save you, to save the kid. And it felt like a bridge too far for someone who doesn't even know who that kid is. Like maybe there's something in her background that informs that decision, but I was left wanting more. And don't get me wrong, I liked Kayla as a surface character, but that's what she felt like to me. I would have liked, like, I wouldn't be mad to see her in a future film. I felt like she was very talented, but I just felt like we needed more
character. I definitely agree with you. I think that like Kayla's fun. I feel like I want to try and word this in the most polite way. They'll like bring in so you have the sort of the three, so Maisie, Chris Pratt. Sorry, mixing up names and characters, but you have the three main people from the new one, and then you're bringing back the three OGs, and Jurassic Park is pretty white. And they're all white, and so I feel like they're like, well, we should have diversity, which I agree is a good thing, but I feel like it's almost a disservice to like bring in these two new characters and for them to be so 2D to the point where like my solution isn't like don't have them in the movie. My solution is like do more. It's also a 2.5 hour movie, and so I'm like, I guess I want the 3 hour Jurassic Park movie, but I feel like you got to rewrite this movie to like figure it out of how to like service these, you know, give these people, you know, they're in a Jurassic Park movie. Actually, it's a Jurassic World domain. But like you got to give them something, and like I think it's diversify the cast. That's good. Get it to a better than this.
I think the problem is I think I could figure out a solution with Ramsey at the very least. Kayla to me is a bit tough, but Ramsey, I feel like, okay, you nix the old guy, bad guy. Like we said, he didn't work for me either.
He was so bad.
And so like
so bad.
Nix him, right? Get rid of him. So like promote BD Wong to central bad guy.
Yeah.
And then have Ramsey. You're cutting one of those three out. And then Ramsey can be the scientist. Ramsey can be good guy. Ramsey can be guy who solves locust problem, right? Like to me, him as the good guy and the guy who like was secretly working against bad guy, I saw that coming from a mile away. And not that
I didn't, but you know, whatever. Yeah.
I just feel like he could have had more to do, just like Kayla. Like that's my central complaint about these new characters that like we're supposed to fall in love with, but just didn't have enough material for me to fall in love with them.
Yeah. This guy, Campbell Scott, who played the like Biosyn creator, he has a role in House of Cards, and then he's Peter Parker's dad in the Andrew Garfield versions of the movie. I just found him to be like, I feel like I understand the sort of like critique they're going for, which he feels very Jeff Bezos-y's. He feels very what's his name from Facebook? He feels very Zuckerberg-y to me of like no charisma, like white guy. Like he's just like rich guy who doesn't really understand people's like problems and just is trying to like profit endlessly at the expense of humanity, because he'll be fine because he's rich. Cause like who cares if the world is like warm, he can like live in an AC unit for his whole life, you know, whatever. But I just found him so flat, and the critique just like it didn't work for me. So that's my problem.
That's how I felt. Like, and it was really strange too, because the first time they introduced him when Ellie and Alan get to the island, right? They have that whole interaction and it's like, what's this guy's deal, right? Like, what's up with him? But like it never went anywhere. It was just a generic bad guy, right? Like put anybody in that role, he's generic bad guy.
This is a recast. This guy, the character is in the original Jurassic Park. He's the one who's like meeting with Newman when he's like in his Hawaiian shirt sitting at the table. Like, he does meet with him. We won't get into why he needed to be replaced. You can look that up on your own time. It's not great. But I just think, like, you didn't need to recast him. Just like, just
nix him, promote BD Wong. Yeah, like, I think it's, I will really never stop note. Bringing this bell about BD Wong. I love BD Wong. Gosh, I do.
He's really great. Well, let's talk about how much we love BD Wong over a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will chat through the rest of Jurassic World Dominion. All right, we are back. So, yes, Kayla is going to fly them. They get a tip from one of the Biosyn employees that Maisie and Beta, wow, I really can't say that word. They're being transported to the secluded headquarters in the Dolomites mountain region, which is where there's this whole thing at the beginning of the movie about how they get to live and roam free and just live their life. And right. As more and more are getting caught, they'll get brought there and that's where dinosaurs will live forever.
Yeah, we all know this isn't perfect, right? That's like Biosyn is like this huge corporation, again, capitalism, where they're supposedly this like nonprofit organization that's going to take the dinosaurs, allow them to roam freely. And not just that, Grace, there's more. They're going to cure disease at the same time. They're going to cure cancer. They're going to cure all these diseases with dinosaur DNA. It's like, obviously, all this is too good to be true.
Yeah. And it's this part of the movie in which we are reintroduced to the one and only Dr. Ian Malcolm, played by Jeff Goldblum, because he invites Alan and Ellie to come to Biosyn. He has been a professor there. He's been teaching some stuff, and he's going to be the intel. It's gonna help them come and figure out what's going on. And we get Jeff Goldblum probably later in the movie than I would have liked, but what a delight once he shows up. I saw a tweet that was like, wow, Jeff Goldblum's back must be really sore because he carried this whole movie, which I, you know, I don't think it's entirely true, but it's mostly true. He's the best part of this movie.
He was very fun. I gotta say, like, I really I preferred all of the OG Jurassic Park cast in this film to the like Owen and Claire and Macy stuff. But yeah, of course, Dr. Ian Malcolm is going to be amazing. And like, just like any person who loved Jurassic Park, you're going to see Alan and Ellie reunite with Dr. Ian Malcolm. And like, you're telling me you don't have a smile on your face? Cause you're a liar if you tell me that, especially when like, It's even better because you know Alan and Ellie are going there to specifically get the locust DNA to like prove this whole point that they're the ones like making these locusts that are now eating everybody's crops and going to cause worldwide famine. And so it's even better that like Dr. Ian Malcolm is like in on it and he's going to sneak Ellie things and he's using this like fancy coffee stand as a distraction, right? Like, it's very fun. It's very like heist movie-esque. It's very fun.
I feel like there is this like world now that we live in, which I think is we live in the like Marvel action movie world where there is a certain like cadence to move to action movies in which you need to insert comedy in a way that like, and I think Marvel has just like nailed it. And I think a lot of other movies try to do this Marvel thing where when something serious happens, one of the characters breaks the tension with a joke, right? Like, this is like, this is the Marvel, like, you know, this is what they do so well. And I just feel like there's very little comedy in this movie until Goldblum shows up. And then Goldblum, and you know what? It's not even entirely Goldblum being funny. He is being very funny, but there's also the way that like when he ushers Alan to go get coffee. And then the barista is very funny in that scene of like, it's like, we have like almond milk. We have like, you know, soy latte free milk. We have like listing all the ingredients that like he can offer Alan Grant. Alan Grant's like, I don't want any of this stuff.
Yeah. While, like, Alan Grant is very much like old guy shakes fists at sky about baristas. Like, he's like, please just give me a black coffee and let's move on with our days. Like, he doesn't understand it. And it's so fun because Alan is like, you know, I just love that it's Ian and Ellie that are in on this, right? And like, he's the one slipping her the bracelet to get access to the locusts, and he's the one whispering to her because they're being watched. There's cameras everywhere. And so it's so fun. We get confirmation that like Dr. Henry Wu, which is BD Wong, is creating these locusts that are now consuming all these other companies' crops, so that only Biosyn's crops are surviving and they're going to dominate the agricultural market.
Yeah.
And so again, like, I just think, even though I didn't necessarily care about like the world aspect of it, right? Like, I much prefer a localized story of Jurassic Park. Yes. I did think that like, it walked us through like the issues, right? And like biosyn and what biosyn is and what its impact is. I do think like it was easy enough to understand throughout the film. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we get Dr. Ian Malcolm back. Do you have a Jeff Goldblum impression, Jess?
Oh gosh, I wish I did. Do you have one? I don't think I'm very good at this.
I don't think I'm very good at it. It would be one that I would like to like keep working on. There's a very good Jeff Goldblum impersonator who shows up on my TikTok a lot, who has met Jeff Goldblum. And he just does a lot of like, like he just does a lot of like pausing and like he just has the best speech pattern of anybody ever. He's so great. I'm glad he's like very much in the national zeitgeist again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's really fun. And I will say Salt-N-Pepa is working for him as well. I love the Jeff Goldblum's look in this film as well. I think the thick frame glasses have like always been an iconic look for him, and I don't know, he doesn't disappoint, right? Like, he shows up and we're happy. That's it.
True. So we learned Dr. Henry Wu is back in the picture. He's genetically engineering these locusts, but he feels bad about it. He explains to Maisie, you are not a clone, actually. Your mother, Charlotte Lockwood, used her own DNA to create you as a child, but she died from a genetic disorder, and your DNA has been altered, and you are immune from this condition. I think you're making a very good point that the cast is spread so thin. I really like this story and think there's a lot of power in, you know, you're not who you think you are, that type of story. I think that's like really compelling of like, yeah, you like it's a little hammer on the head at the beginning of the movie when she's like, I'm not even me. And someone's like, I do think it could be really powerful, to the point of like, I'm not sure that like, it's almost like, in a way, like, this is too highbrow for like a direct, where like, you're not going to get the same, like,
they're not digging into it as they're not
digging into
movies,
it as deep. Yeah. As if this was like an indie film about a daughter who is like genetically cloned from her mom. How like powerful that movie could be.
Yeah. This isn't Gattaca. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So I like this, but like, yeah, it's a little like rushed through in a sense. And I don't know. I feel like the other thing they don't do super well is like, well, I guess you do see the thing of like, Maisie goes into town and is the one to be like, oh, here's what you need to do to get this dinosaur who's like on the shipping, like the log yard, to get away.
Which are the best dinosaurs? Like, whenever they want a crowd pleaser, they have to go with the long necks, because they're not going to eat anybody. They always just make like this noise, and it's just like so sad.
You do a good impression of the long neck dinosaur.
I can't do a Jeff Goldblum, but I can do
a long neck. This is a long neck Jeff Goldblum. So I just think that like, there's good like foundation there, and they don't dig deep enough there.
Like, such a controversial, outrageous take.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like this movie would be so much better without Claire and Owen.
I completely
remove them from the film, right?
I completely agree.
I don't know how you'd make this work, but you have Maisie and like, just have Claire, or just have Ellie and Alan go and save her, right? Because then we get a richer story. I didn't care as much, like, even though I know it's been 4 years, and so you can imagine Owen and Claire have bonded with Ellie, but like, the chemistry was not working for me there. Like, it didn't feel like reunited, and it feels so good.
This
I was
is
like
the failing of this new trilogy, which is that they plastered two Hollywood superstars. They're big names. This is Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard. These are should be able to carry a franchise, and they just have no chemistry together, and the characters are not written well enough to the point where I think that like, it works. And so like, the part here is like, I don't think when they made Jurassic World in 2015 that they were like, and in movie 3 we'll get Sam and Laura back, you know, like that's not what they were doing. And so the only reason that these are here is because nostalgia, like the nostalgia bump has definitely like happened over the last few years of like, people will pay for nostalgia, but also like, then you also have this like trilogy of movies that you promised to Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. So like, I feel like it'd be a PR nightmare to be like, yeah, we're not doing this thing with you. We're going to replace you. So they kind of have to keep them in, but they're the least entertaining part of the whole movie.
They're the least entertaining part. And I think the other struggle I have with Claire specifically, both characters, is that they had it best in the first Jurassic World, where Claire is the uptight one, right? She has this like blunt haircut, like with the terrible bangs. Don't get me started. You know, it's just like, she is the type A control freak. And then you have Chris Pratt's character, who's like, fun, and he's like loves motorcycles, and he's like cool dude guy, right? And they get together, which again, they don't have a lot of chemistry, but like they get together, and then suddenly both of those characters get completely dulled down. It's like you took sandpaper to them and just rubbed away all the best parts, where it's like, okay, well, Claire is no longer going to be uptight. She's going to be like a little less control freaky and like live in the middle of the woods with this guy. And this guy's going to be like super uptight, serious man about dinosaurs. Like they completely lost all of the fun aspects of those characters. And so for me, it's like by this film, I was kind of like, there are parts I didn't really care about. Like they had fun action scenes, but like
Chris Pratt is like lassoing dinosaurs in the wilderness and he does not have fun doing it.
Yeah.
But like at the end, he should be like, hooting and hollering, you know.
Come on, little dinosaur.
He's not fun in this movie, which is such a shame. Yeah. And I feel like there is this, like, I don't know. There's a world in which, like, well, yeah, we got to see if Chris Pratt can play like super serious man. I'm like, yeah, not this one.
Do we?
This is the big action movie. Like, this is the big fun. It's Jurassic Park. Actually, it's some Jurassic Park World Dominion. I don't know who let this kid into my podcasting studio, cast a type in these things.
Yeah.
Look at Tom Cruise just made like, he's going to make like $1 billion in Top Gun Maverick, playing the same character he did in like 1960, where he's just cool guy who doesn't follow the rules, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just come on.
Yeah. Just, that's what I'm saying. And I to get back to the original point, I totally agree with you. Like I would have loved if they had more time to build off of the parallels between Macy and Beta. And not just that, like dive deep into the morality of cloning and how they cloned her and what her mom did and focus more time on her mom as a scientist and how that relates to Ellie, because apparently Ellie worked with her. And like, you see the ties, right? Like you can literally see things connecting in the web and how to create it, but they're so locked into having Claire and Owen you know, as characters in this movie that they're stuck, right? And it's kind of sucks because it's just like there are really good points that I wish we had spent more time on, and it's already like a 2.5 hour movie, so how are we going to do that?
But really the point of Maisie and Beta having similar DNA is because Dr. Wu can create a pathogen to halt the locust outbreak. So that's why that happened in the movie. Claire and Owen and Kayla arrive, but they are attacked by a dinosaur that I'm just going to try to pronounce.
It's like it's similar to a pterodactyl.
The Quetzalcoatlus.
It's a flying dinosaur, similar to a
dinosaur.
Yeah.
I was actually, a moment in the movie where I was like, oh, wow, the Claire just has to eject from the seat. That was
Can I say, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something else.
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb to have her eject from the plane, no?
I'm not sure why, like, they all clearly survived, you know?
That's
like,
what
why
I'm does saying. She have to eject?
But do you know what it was? It's so that they split the party, Jess. So.
I know, but it was like, at the same time, I'm just like, why are we doing this? Like, just keep them all together. But I will say, one of my favorite encounters in the entire film was the underwater feather dinosaur. Like, what? Yeah. Like, I'm going to say this again for the people in the back. Underwater.
Yeah.
Covered in feathers, which again, this is a whole thing where scientists have said that it was most likely that dinosaurs did have feathers. And so they're really trying to like,
they're more like birds, right? Than, than
yeah, they're lizards. Trying to like, stay true to that, which I appreciate, right? Like, I know they're also trying to be like, ooh, look at this cool dinosaur who can swim and go under ice and like blah, blah, blah. But it was an intense scene and I loved it.
I actually think that while I don't love how they like do it, I actually thought that both encounters when they split up, this is for me the best part of the movie for both Owen, Kayla, and Claire. I think so.
Yeah.
I actually the tension here with like dinosaur was super fun. Who knew if you put your character that you're watching might get eaten by a dinosaur. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Landing on the ice and then they're like they're not worried, and it breaks through the ice, and then it's like coming through. Like, I thought that was all really fun. And then Claire, like, getting out of trying to get out of her seat, realizing there's a dinosaur, the like slow crawl into the water before like the dinosaur like breathes down, and she, the pan of like her underwater.
Yes.
I thought both of those scenes were really, really strong.
And we get, I gotta say, there is nothing Jurassic World loves more than a battle royale between dinosaurs.
They sure do.
It is the biggest fan of that. And okay, so the scariest dinosaur.
We get a Therizinosaurus and a Pyroraptor.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I'm trying to remember which the one biggest, is which.
And then also a Giganotosaurus is also the other thing that's like, that's in there as like, you think a T-Rex is big? Wait till you see a Giganotosaurus. You know, right. That's like a big plot point in this movie as well.
The Therizinosaurus, basically, yes. The one with like just got a manicure, like super long claws. Yes. I kept calling it Edward Scissorhands dinosaur.
That's great. That's really good.
Edward Scissorhands dinosaur, by far the scariest one, in my opinion.
I agree. Like,
I don't want those claws anywhere near me. Hey. I'm not ready to be kebabbed.
Hey, like, it basically takes out a Giganotosaurus, you know?
That's what I'm saying. That thing was terrifying. And so we have like this fight between those two, which was like super just like intense.
A little bit of fluff in this movie, but like they set that up that like the T-Rex, it gets the better of the, and then it's like, all right, later, I'm not fighting you right now. And it doesn't fight it later until the other one is there, until Edward Scissorhands is like.
Do you know how old that T-Rex is? That T-Rex has seen some S. That T-Rex has been around since like the OG Jurassic Park film. Like, and I'm not going to lie, a T-Rex is like, okay, if you're looking for one to not die, then it's the long neck one, right? Because it's like the cutest, it's not going to kill you. Yes. But the T-Rex is like the baddest mother ever around. You don't mess with the OG T-Rex. It will find ways. It's so smart. It will knock you into Edward Scissorhands. Like, watch out. It's
good move. Good finishing move. So, meanwhile, at the Bison Factory, Ian and Ramsey end up helping Ellie and Alan access the secure lab where they steal the locust sample, and they do encounter Maisie, who has escaped from her.
She lets Beta out.
It's great.
Great
move. And then when the locust lab has been breached, Dodgson is like, nope, and just lights them all on fire, then lets them out, and it causes a forest fire.
One of my favorite moments.
Good as well. I thought this was really strong. Yeah.
Like when you see
the PSR out of context is going to be like, wow, we really loved forest fires. You know, that was really great. My favorite part was the forest fire.
It was like, I think this is what made me so scared of the locusts, right? Was
it's
like
very horror movie vibe.
Yes.
For real.
The guy's like, okay, just set them on fire. And you're like, oh my gosh, the poor animals. And then they start buzzing around and bashing against the glass. And then they escape. And then fire is literally raining from the skies. And it is horrifying. And I do love the tiny moment of like the other dinosaurs just like munching on some crisped up locusts, like barbecue day, you know?
Yes.
It was great. It was wonderful.
I love this whole thing. I mean, I was not sold on the locust, but to create fire locust swarming around the park that also causes a forest. Because like, I feel like this is like, also like there's a way in which like, not only does it work from like, like that's terrifying. That's really good. It also is just like, yeah, you idiot, you cause a forest fire. You're a giant corporation, doesn't think about your actions. You know, like it's the metaphor is like on point as well.
I gotta say, like, it made me okay. I'm the monster who's just like, but the poor dinosaurs, they're gonna die. Like, there's like a huge forest fire, and it's always the long necks. It's always the long necks that are suffering. It's
the
like,
moment when they're like all trying to they have these sensors on them that they can tell them to go into like a safe haven. When they're all going, it's super like, sad.
Yeah. It's like these poor babies, help them.
Speaking of Dr. Ian Malcolm is fired when he's like you help them, so you're fired. And so he notices that they are on the hybrid the super advanced subway took them to a specific location.
Yeah,
and so he's gonna go there to go to the exit. He does.
Yeah, because that was where Ramsay had helped them. Because Ramsay behind the scenes this whole time,
big reveal. Yes.
Yeah, this is how this. Yeah, this is the big reveal that like, oh, he's really a secretly good guy because he helps Alan, Ellie, and Maisie on the subway, and then he also is just like. This Dodgson evil guy, whatever, it's like trusts Ramsay so much. He's like, okay, escort Ian out of here. And he's like, Ian, I'm secretly a good guy. Like, we're all good.
Well, also he's, the whole reason that they're like here and like talking with is like, he has told, Ian, like, he's like, yeah, all the locusts are going to kill all the sea, you know? So he's like, he's looped them in. And then Ian is like helping, Ellie and Alan. So I don't know, it's fine. Again, like, there's not much depth to Ramsay, but he does help them. He feels very, again, like, I'm here when you need somebody. It's like, okay, great. He's much more plot device-y than character. They all meet up. What do you think of I heard some critique of the scene where they're all like outside. This was in the trailer of like, why do they always have to be bigger, like that scene where they're all saying about, and then they like circle around the car and the dinosaur. Like, I thought sometimes the like how you are hiding from the dinosaur was a bit like, wouldn't they just run after you?
It's very hokey, but,
like, whatever, it's
fine. It was very hokey, and I felt like they were doing a lot to fan service, right? Because that is the upside down vehicle is a staple of the original Jurassic Park, especially when you're looking like outside from underneath the car. Again, another very big staple of Jurassic Park. It's like a very popular, famous image from Jurassic Park. It felt like they were really doing their best to emulate that, but like, how are you going to do that with like eight people? Like, I'm sorry, it's one too many. But of course, we got Dr. Ian Malcolm saves the day when he, like, again, fan servicey. In the original JP, he holds up a flare to distract the T-Rex. In this film, he sticks a locust with a stick. He holds it up, and then best moment of the movie, throws the stick into the dinosaur's mouth, making it essentially a fire-breathing dinosaur.
The dragon, Benzoy.
It was a dragon. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. I was very worried for Dr. Ian Malcolm because I did think
he was gonna sacrifice himself.
I did think that there's like, there is a thing where it's like, yeah, who are we gonna kill off? And I was like, it's not gonna be Alan or Ellie because they're gonna get together at the end.
They got a kiss.
So I think it's gonna be in my, like, I would have wanted it to be maybe Owen or like, it really is the end of this thing. But I was like, oh no, Alan's in the, like, when he's the only one left in the car, like, he's like, they're like going around, they get through, and he's in the car. I'm like, I think they might kill off Jeff Goldblum in this movie, but they did not. But I thought this was pretty fun. Mostly, I think that, like, the like locust in the mouth is great. So they eventually get away. Everybody gets up safely. They're in this like control tower, and they realize like they can't call. They have so Dodgson gets in the Hyperloop with the embryos.
Yeah, and there was another call out to original Jurassic Park with the shaving cream can. The original one, that's like a huge staple with the embryos and all of that. So another like cute little Easter egg.
I didn't love that the bad guy, this is, you know, reflective of the original where like the acid dinosaurs, the Dilophosaurus. I'm like, boy, I get, for the big bad of the movie to get got by, like, and not through clever tricks by the good guys, if this makes, like, I don't know. I guess I can see a world where, like, you can make the argument, like, he gets got by the dinosaurs, and he's trying to, like, manipulate the dinosaurs, so a dinosaur kills him. But I thought, like, a little, he just, like, gets in a hyperloop and then dies. Like,
yeah, it didn't bother me because it's very similar to how, I don't know his name, Newman. Yeah, I know him as Newman. Very similar to how Newman dies. Newman is one of the bad guys, tries to steal the shaving cream, gets killed by the Dilophosaurus, however you want to say it. And I appreciated the return of those dinosaurs because, in my opinion, one of the scariest, just because of the frills. The frills freak me out, man. He goes like, rah! It's like scary looking. Didn't mind.
I feel like, I don't know if he's going to be listening, but Rich Filiberto does. He has a particular sound he'll make often when he has a similar type of monster. I feel like he could, like, if they need somebody for a future movie, Rich is like, rah! Is very good. Yes. I think he could fill in.
Yeah. But I didn't mind it simply because I liked the callback to Jurassic Park and I felt like it was kind of a fitting end. Like, this guy is loser scum, right? Like, this guy sucks. This guy is like a cowardly, like craven. He should go out in a craven way. And I didn't mind that.
I guess I can see that argument. I think because there isn't really like another big bad on the board that you can like ultimately I'm fine with bad guys getting eaten by dinosaurs or like getting acid in their face by dinosaurs. I maybe want it to be a little bit more like, so you either have to do two things. One is you have to set it up so that the good guys make you get eaten by a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Or like are smart enough to not get eaten by a dinosaur and you are dumb enough to get eaten by dinosaur. Like if we saw them in the Hyperloop earlier and figured out how to avoid this dinosaur and then keep it in there to the point where like when he goes into it later, he gets acid in his face because he's dumb and he wasn't able to get. I feel like you need something to make the good guys look good and the bad guy look like a doofus. Or the other thing you need to do is have it be like, I think like much more
bigger.
Like you need like to like highlight again how like if he's such a doofus, how are people not? And I feel we just don't get that enough.
You're looking for more of a lawyer sitting on the toilet and gets eaten by a T-Rex. Like you're looking like
I say that every podcast. Okay.
I'm just saying like
my catchphrase.
I just think this, you know what this movie was missing is like a really dramatic human death, right? We get a lot of like dinosaur death, but like I'm talking like original Jurassic World has the most brutal death of all of the Jurassic Park / World films, where the assistant to Claire gets like picked up by pterodactyls, tossed about, and then brought into the water where she gets just completely eviscerated by that giant water dinosaur. And like, yeah, like this movie did not exactly have that. And it would have been more satisfying if the big bad gets taken out in a more dramatic fashion. I could totally see your point.
And I, you know, and then I think have somebody else get acid in their face somehow, you know? I don't know. Like, yeah, I feel like the movie, it's a big cast, but also there's only one bad guy, right? Because Ramsay ends up being a good guy. And B.D. Wong is a good guy. There's there's the people who are like, who kidnap, like you could have maybe looked them back in.
But we don't know them. Like there's, that was the other thing. I meant to say this too. There was no follow-up to, so the woman who was, she's in Severance. So notable actress there. She was like all in white and she is like kind of the head person of the bandits basically who are taking Maisie and taking, and she's the one with the laser that puts it on Chris Pratt when he has to drive away. Anyway,
right.
We never really saw any follow-up to her. Like it was kind of like there and then it wasn't. And again, if she's a really big bad, why don't we get to see her get eaten by a dinosaur? Like if you're not going to bring her back at the end of the movie, then have her get eaten by a dinosaur, you know, give us something fun.
I agree. I will say that like, yeah, not enough people will probably get eaten by dinosaurs. You should be getting by dinosaurs in this movie.
Yeah. The one bad guy did that. Like Owen was near in the underground world of dinosaurs. Like he got his arm ripped off and everything.
True.
But still.
So Owen gets a beta, captures and protects beta. All the dinosaurs, the electronic devices are telling them to go to headquarters. So they're all going, they get protected from the fire. But we have a battle royale, as they like to do it. We have the T-Rex, Edward Scissorhands, and the Gigasaurus, which is not the actual name, but I'm just going to call it Gigasaurus because it's easier to pronounce. Mm-hmm. It's Giga versus T-Rex until Edward shows up. And then it's a 2-on-1 fight. And the Gigasaurus never stood a chance.
Yeah, because the Edward Scissorhands. T-Rex pushes Giga into Edward Scissorhands. That's it. And also, the whole beta situation, again, I feel like would have had more teeth, if you will. If, because Maisie is the one who is able to do the hand up situation, right?
Yes.
She does the old raptor technique. If you put the hand up, you get the dinosaur to stop with beta because they've built this connection. Right. And again, that would have felt more earned if we had been able to explore that storyline a little bit more. Yes. But I did love the situation where everyone's going to do their own things, right? You have like Ellie and Claire going to try to turn the systems back on or off or whatever. And then you have Alan and Owen and Maisie trying to get beta. And Alan is like not here for any of this, just like every other film. He's like, why are we doing this? Like these are scary dinosaurs. Like, I'm not into this.
Goldblum on the mic on the walkie is pretty so good here as well. Yeah.
So good. Because then because we love badass women doing badass things where all of a sudden there's all these locusts everywhere and they're like attacking Claire and Ellie. And Ellie just takes an axe. max, just to the wires. Don't even care. Boom, boom, boom. And I was into it. I love that scene.
Yep, it was great. So they get away. They get in the helicopter. They do take Dr. Wu with them because he says, I know how to eradicate the locusts.
Yeah, and Macy believes him. She's like, he's a good one. I know it.
Yeah.
And we're like, so, let's leave the 12-year-old kid.
We sort of end on this montage-y type thing. Wu releases the locust with a pathogen. And so he's going to presumably change the DNA of all the locusts and they will die out. Ellie and Alan get a little kiss. A kiss, finally.
Yeah, and this is when the people behind us at the drive-in were like, woohoo! Like, full on into it. They loved it. And, you know, I got to say, I loved it too.
It was very cute.
It was very sweet. Felt like it was like 30 years in the making, you know. We love to see it.
So they testify with Ian and Ramsey against Biosyn. Meanwhile, Owen, Claire, and Maisie return home and they reunite Beta with Blue. This was very cute. I like this. To return the Velociraptor with the Velociraptor?
To return the Velociraptor to like nature and other humans around. Like this, raptors are going to kill other humans. They're not like innocent omnivores. They're not long necks. Oh.
I really put a downer on this sentimental
moment. I'm so sorry. I know it's sentimental, but like it's also a terrible, terrible idea.
It's probably a good... I feel like he feels like he can train them, probably. Like he has a relationship with Blue. She has a relationship with... Whatever, if he's right or wrong, but whatever. Yeah. Well, the dinosaurs start coexisting. And Biosyn Valley is a dinosaur sanctuary.
I did love watching the little girl just like feed a baby dinosaur as if it was like a duck. It was like very funny.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we picked a lot of nits.
I know. I'm so sorry if I felt I'm not a downer. Like I really did love the movie. I just think I love this series so much and like Jurassic Park in itself so much that like there are certain things I feel like they could do better. And if they're going to make a third trilogy, which I honestly do hope they do. I know some people would probably disagree with that.
Wow. I think it's a bold claim.
I'm thinking you bring a whole new cast. Like I'm not saying I want new faces. I want fresh faces.
We tried that. That was this trilogy.
But not some guy who I hate who's canceled. I think the thing is that... All
right, fine, we'll get Jared Leto.
No! I think the thing is...
I forgot. Did you know who played Beta in this movie?
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
I knew it! Yeah. I knew it. That voice sounded familiar.
Yeah.
All I was going to say is, like, I think what they need to do, which I know they'll never do, is make it a real film again where, like, you're not just trying to throw as many dinosaurs at my face.
Did you think Jurassic Park was a documentary?
Yes. It's
a documentary. Make it like a documentary like the first one. Come on.
Yes. Like, I just think you need to, like, roll it back a little bit. You don't need to, like, impress me with 50 new dinosaurs in a film, right? Make one new dinosaur in a film. It's too much.
You're at the point where you're like, so again, it's just like, I don't know. I need a name for this thing. Like it might be the Westworlding of movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're at the park. There's robots. Are they sentient? Maybe. Yeah. And then we get to episode two and they're like, actually robots are everywhere in the world and they're all becoming sentient. And also like, it's going to cause World War III. And you're like, no, too much. So I feel like if you were to like, you're going to reboot Jurassic Park. I think you gotta be like, we are in one small location and we're never leaving this look at like tower. How is this one dinosaur that's here or whatever, two, whatever, like how are they affecting like this one part of the world? And like that and that story. And where I feel like this movie lacks a lot is like, it's very like, this is a plot movie. This is not really a character movie. Even Alan and Ellie, like that there's not a ton. They're just like, yeah, we all kind of liked each other. And now I'm divorced. You know, like there's
Jurassic Park characters. Is doing miles of work for them. That's right. Like we already know who they are. We know their stories. I'm totally with you. I think what we need
scale
to do, I have two words for all movies out there.
Yeah.
Do less.
Do less. Yes.
I think that's it. I just do less. Like just it's simple, right? It's like what we say about Lost. It's like what we say about most of these shows. It has to be focused on the characters first. But when you have a movie about dinosaurs, I think they just want to go bigger and better. But I feel like the original Jurassic World did such a good job at making me empathize with Blue, right? The dinosaur.
We ended this movie being like, we're testifying in Congress and there's a dinosaur sanctuary. Like, we got pretty big. You know, just feel like, yeah, scale it back a little bit. And again, I just want to say, like, I feel like this is all stuff like it's a movie podcast. We're recapping the movie. When I leave the movie theater, like when I left this movie, I actually had fun. I thought it was pretty fun. And there's like some really, really good stuff, which is actually like, I was really worried. Josh and I were talking about how there was like a pretty long embargo on this movie in terms of like reviews. And so stuff was not coming out. And then the stuff we did see was like, there's some gems in there. And I was really worried that that was like, I'm going to be nice to the Jurassic World people. But I actually agree. I feel like the scenes where like Claire and Owen are separated is really strong. I think that like the foundation for like the Maisie stuff is really strong. I like the three dinosaurs fighting. I thought that was fun. Like, there's good enough stuff in here that like I had fun in a movie theater for 2.5 hours and walked out totally fine. And now that I'm like thinking about like thinking critically about every scene of the movie, I'm like, I wouldn't have done that. Could you have done that here? Could fix that, scrub out that. But like, that's what we do here. So like, I don't know. I hope that like, if you enjoyed the movie, I enjoyed the movie too.
I think it's one of those things where we're like, we're on a podcast talking about a film. Of course, we're going to get into stuff that like we would have done differently or like things we would change about the movie. But like at the end of the day, we got like, I mean, and obviously graphics have our leaps and bounds better than they were back in the day, right? So like we're getting a
Jurassic
lot of
Park graphics were like really good. So
they hold up. I could scream this from the rooftops. Yeah. Like I saw, I've said this a million times. I've probably said it on this podcast. I went to the drive-ins during COVID and we saw Jurassic Park and E.T. back to back at the drive-ins because obviously they were playing old movies to get revenue, whatever. Jurassic Park holds up. E.T. does not. E.T. looks like a puppet. E.T. looks like trash. Jurassic Park holds up and it's physical. I forget what it's called. It's physical. It's real. It's not CGI.
I wonder if it's just too like the infrastructure isn't in place to do a movie like that anymore, because I kind of would have loved if like
it's just
not possible. Yeah.
No.
All the cameras are set up to do like CGI and everything. Right?
Yes. Yeah. But the dinosaurs were great. The imagery was great. Like, it's just obviously we're going to pick a little bit apart about the characters in the plot because that's kind of missing. But in a dinosaur movie, like they're focusing their budget and their time on the dinosaurs. I can't exactly fault them for that. They want to go bigger. They want to go better every single movie. They need to include these like 20 new dinosaurs and one of them has Edward Scissorhands.
And you know what? All the stuff that worked for me probably also worked for kids. And there is a world in which this is a, you know, it's a kid. It's like a movie franchise is supposed to appeal to like a family, right?
Yeah, it's so PG-13 apparently. So
it was PG-13. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I really loved it. I got to say, like, I did love it. I don't want people to come away thinking I'm like too critical of it. I really did enjoy it.
I know. That's the thing. Like we do this podcast, Ariel and I specifically like each week are here because we really do love movies. And I'm always like wanting to like the things I'm watching. And there's a lot of stuff in here I like. We just like when we watch something that's bad, and especially stuff that's like, we're trying not to, I think, talk about stuff that is like, bad and not people aren't watching it. Like, you know, there's no point in that. People are watching this. So like, I think people, hopefully you agree with some of our takes. If you disagreed, that's cool too. Let us know. You can chat with us either on Twitter, which we'll let you know what our Twitter handles are, or if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps, you could chat with us in the Discord at the $5 level. There's a movie channel, and at the $10 level, there is like a Post Show Recaps theater channel, which is a little bit at a higher level. Also, both of us can be reached at email grace@postshowrecaps.com, jess@postshowrecaps.com. Chat with us about the movie, let us know. Jess, I want to ask, without Ariel here, sometimes we do. Did you watch anything else good recently? We like to focus on movies, but I know you watch TV.
I watch so much more TV than I do movies.
What's the last movie? You've been going to the drive-in.
The last movie I actually watched was a group of patrons in the Discord. We were chatting randomly about Miss Congeniality, and then we were like, let's watch it Saturday morning. We all watched Miss Congeniality together. It was so fun. That used to be one of my favorite rom-coms. There's a lot of misogyny in it. And that didn't exactly, you know, tickle my funny bone, if you will.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Michael Caine in it.
There's a lot of, yes. Oh my gosh. But it's so good. It holds up in a way of like female empowerment. And so if you look at the guys as the bad guys, I feel like you still get a lot out of it. Yeah. I really love that movie. It's a 2000 film. It's so good. Sandy B. knocks it out of the park.
Sandy B.
Love her.
I know. I wanted to join in. I was babysitting my nieces, so I couldn't watch, but I saw.
And then one got you sick, so you see where that
got you. Yeah, and then one got me sick. Yeah. that's fine. I haven't talked about this yet. I did watch Crimes of the Future, which I don't think we're going to chat about on this podcast. I thought has some interesting ideas, probably doesn't like in the execution of it hold up fully for me. I know some people, even people in the Discord, liked it more than I did. I know some like film critics really, really liked it. So I think it's worth checking out. It's trying some interesting. It is very like body horror. So if you're not into body horror, do that. The other thing I saw recently, which I want everybody to see this movie, is Le Petit Maman. Ariel told me about it. It's based on the same, it's the same director who did Portrait of a Lady on Fire. And it is the cutest thing ever. I'll have to chat with Ariel on the pod about Le Petit Maman, but it's so freaking cute. Don't look up anything. It is in French. So you'll make sure that if you go and watch it, you'll watch it with, they're going to put the subtitles on. But it's so cute. It's so good. And it's probably my favorite film of the year so far. It's also an hour and 10 minutes.
We love a short runtime. Yes.
Le Petit
anything,
movie.
Anything around an hour and a half, I'm like, good job. Yes.
Yeah. It's really good. It's so cute. It's great. It's well worth watching, even though it's in French. Just kidding. I love French people and French accents. And like, you know, I love. All right, Jess, thanks for coming on for Jurassic World Dominion.
I had so much fun. This was a delight. Too bad Ariel missed me. I guess you're going to have me back on when Ariel's here eventually.
There's although more I was movies. Just on before, you know. There's more movies. Yeah, you've had, we haven't had many two-time guests. Probably LaTanya.
Oh my
gosh. I don't think a lot of people honor. Have made it to the two-timers club here on Post Show Recaps Theater. Yeah. But tell everyone where they can find you and what you're up to.
Yes, you could find me on Twitter at the Jess Sterling. You could also find me in the Post Show Recaps Discord. It's where I spend 99% of my social media time. You can hear my voice just, gosh, so many places. I'm on Community Building with Josh Wigler, where we are watching the show Community. We are up to season 3, episode 7 this week. I'm really excited about it. I think Josh is going to love it.
I was on last week.
You were on last week. That
how
was
time
so much
flies. Fun. I feel like we're like, we forget our plug.
Like was that like, 4 weeks ago?
I was on a podcast a week ago, so I can't plug it this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also finishing up coverage of The Time Traveler's Wife with Sarah Ferguson on, it's on HBO Max. What a wonderful show. Much better than I ever thought it was going to be. So we're finishing that up. It's been a ton of fun. And of course you can also hear me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with Sarah Ferguson. We cover Dawson's Creek, Boy Meets World, and a whole other litany of 90s content over there. So much fun. We're going to be finished with Boy Meets World by the end of the year, and I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for it, but it's gonna happen. So we're in the college years. It's been a ton of fun, so go check that out at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's all I got, I think.
I always forget something, so I'm sure you forgot something.
Yeah, I'm sure I forgot something.
Here on Post Show Recaps, I actually don't have a ton at the moment. I have the movie podcast here, and I'll let you know what we're doing next week in a bit. But I have Peaky Blinders with LaTanya, which has been super fun. Season 6 just dropped on Netflix on Friday, June 10th. So we did a podcast covering everything that happened up to that point, and then an episode per day. Our finale coverage will be a little bit delayed. If you're listening to this late, it's already out though. There's a movie coming. That's what they said. We're going to do 6 seasons of the movie.
Right, Jess? Ugh, I'm so jealous. Community listeners are dying right now.
So there's a movie coming at some point down the line, and I'm sure we'll cover it here with LaTanya. I really think that's it in Post Show Recaps at the moment. Over on Rob's a podcast, I do the Off Speed podcast, where we dive into different worlds of sports and sports stories and break things down and play some games. This week, I am going to be joined by a good friend of mine, Adam, who I actually we have never talked to each other other than in text. We know each other from sort of a la the Discord. We know each other from another forum. So we never talked to each other ever, and it was very, very fun. Such a delight to get to chat with Adam. So you talk about the transfer window in European soccer, and Lavina will come on to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. And The Pride Has Spoken is a podcast series where we are celebrating LGBTQ survivor players. Evie has done some fantastic interviews. Next week's episode should be able to hear from some Rehap and maybe PSR podcasters who identify as LGBTQ and watch Survivor. So I'm very excited for that. And we're selling t-shirts that are in support of Gender Benders, a charity that supports transgender and non-conforming folks in the United States. So go check it out. It's been a delight to sort of share these interviews with everybody. And I've had a blast doing the project on Pride Month, no less. So The Pride Has Spoken over on Rob as a podcast. Next week, I'll be joined by a Pixar expert, Jess Sterling.
Ooh, wonder who that could be.
I can't think. It's Abraham Lincoln that's coming on the pod. He loves Pixar movies. No, it's Felipe, and we're going to talk Lightyear, the new Pixar movie. Did you know that it's the movie is supposed to be the movie that Andy watched before he got his Buzz Lightyear toy?
That tracks. That makes sense.
Yeah, cool, right? I think that's a very clever way to do that.
It's interesting. It's like, how can we keep Toy Story going?
That's right.
Let's make a movie about Buzz Lightyear.
I know. I'm surprised that the Buzz Lightyear movie actually came. I thought we were going down a whole Forky train.
I'm going to say, if we're picking one or the other, I'm going Lightyear all the way, baby. Yeah. Get Forky out of my face, please. Yeah. Thank you.
And we'll see. There's a couple streaming movies that I think look very interesting. So perhaps I might come back with you next week with a bonus episode. And Ariel comes back. There's lots of stuff on that week. Both Elvis and The Black Phone, two big summer movies coming in the pipe. So we'll be back in about a week's 2 weeks time. That's a wrap on our poster recap theater coverage this week. Until then, bye bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.